Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word and for the Holy Spirit who can lead us and guide us into all the truth. We thank you for the anointing that rests upon your word and each and every one of us that hears your word. We thank you that the Spirit of God can take this written word that we hear, that we read, and make it real, alive, active, personal. We just thank you that it deals with any traditions and doctrines of men that make the word of God of none effect. We have a breakthrough and see things fresh and anew today. We thank you for it. We appreciate all that you have already done in our life and the things that you plan to do still in the year ahead. So we honor you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to read that verse because the message that I have on my heart comes from the end of that phrase. Members in particular, if you want a title for today, members in particular. When you read that in the context, let's just jump right in, verse 27 again. "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular," and, the word "and" is a conjunction, let's keep going with that thought, "and, as members in particular, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments." Now, some of your more modern translations, in fact, most of them have the word "administrations" there instead of "governments." "Diversities of tongues." "Are all apostles?" "Are all prophets?" "Are all teachers?" "Are all workers of miracles?" "Have all the gifts of healing?" "Do all speak with tongues?" "Do all interpret?" Verse 31. "But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now we have to remember that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 begins by laying out this idea that God desires for us to understand about spiritual gifts. Actually, chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So he wants us to understand the gifts that God has given to the church. And there's so many other kinds of gifts that we're going to look at, because I believe that every member of the body of Christ is vital, it's important, members in particular. We all have something that we can contribute and bring as far as our time, our talent, and our treasure, excuse me, that we've talked about in the past. So here it says, "Let me show you a more excellent way." Now there's these best gifts, and it's interesting to me how this list kind of jumps around, but he says this leads directly into what we would call the great love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13, is sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, which talk about the gifts of the Spirit and how they should operate and the function of them, the governing of them, the administration of them, however you want to put it. But they all work together, and it says faith, hope, and love is how these gifts all work together. But the greatest of these is love. So when we talk about chapter 13, you look at verse 1 through 4, really verses 1 through 3 specifically, he says, "Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, what good is it?" Basically, I'm sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. "If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can understand mysteries, I have the knowledge of all things, and faith, and all these kind of things, wonderful! But if I don't have love, what good is it?" Love is the foundation of it. And so, having the character and the maturity and the nature of God on the inside of us, a love for God, and letting that love for God and our neighbor, the great commandment, come through us, helps us step out as the body of Christ and function in these gifts, all of these gifts. Now, I've been around long enough, getting saved back in the 70s during the charismatic movement, Everybody was all looking at all the spectacular gifts. Oh, they wanted people to stand up and prophesy, give tongues and interpretation, and have miracles, and have everybody line up and pray over them, have them fall like just sticks, and rah, you know, just, yeah, that was really the Holy Ghost. We had power. You know, there's signs and wonders and there's demonstrations, but there's more to just those types of demonstrations as far as spiritual gifts. And that's what we're going to talk about to a degree here today, and specifically how those gifts work in different members of the body. Because I think there's a lot of members in the body that get overlooked. I think there's a lot of members in the body that aren't appreciated. You know, we have a tendency to only look at the ones that are up front and spectacular. Oh, look at how they, listen to how someone sang. Look how someone played the piano, or look how someone preached. Yeah. No. Yeah, look how someone played the drums. I'd rather get replaced. Let me tell you, I'm waiting for your gift of drummership to come up here. Please. All right? All of these things tell us that these God-given gifts work together by faith, hope, and love. Now, it's interesting to me, and a lot of people don't recognize this who do not understand the variations of the gifts, because it says, covet earnestly the best gift. So there's always an argument sometimes, well, which is the best gift? The one that helps the most and gets the job done is the best gift. You know, sometimes things, a person says, oh, I've got a sickness deal, a situation I'm dealing with that I need a miracle. I need the gifts of healing. And sometimes God comes along and says, no, you don't need the gifts of healing. You need a word of knowledge. Because what you're doing to your body isn't going to stop until you get the revelation from God about how to deal with your temple. So sometimes a word of knowledge is more important, but they don't want to listen to the word of knowledge. They want the miracle. And so sometimes they ignore the very thing, the gift that God uses to bring the answer, and that was the best gift. But sometimes we esteem a gift higher or better than some other gift. We'd rather see the spectacular, supernatural gift. And sometimes it's just one word from heaven that can change the course of your life. One word during a message, one word during the offering can change your life. That might have been a word for you. That might have been just the word you need to change the course and the direction that you're going, to change your finances. You don't know that until you act on it, until you believe it, you receive that word into your heart, and faith comes as a result of it, and you start to step out. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I'm going to show you a better way. I think love is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that always serves others. There's something about that servant's heart. When you go on again, let's read verses 28 through 30. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Now, I want you to remember those three. Mark them. Then he goes on and says, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings. Mark those maybe in a little different color or something. Then it says helps and governments or administrations. Again, those are separate. Then it says diversities of tongues. And then he says, and asks a question, are all apostles? Of course not. Not everybody's got that gift. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Obviously not. Not everyone gets that gift. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Because tongues and interpretation equals prophecy when you read earlier in 1 Corinthians 12. All of these things are kind of a limited examples of the different types of gifts. He picks certain ones, but of the three major types of gifts that are in the Bible, he mentions all three types right here. Not all of them. He just gives a sampling because they should always all work together for the benefit of the body of Christ. So just for the sake of everyone that's listening, let me go through this real quick. Of these different types of gifts that are mixed together here and working together, number one is the ministry gifts. First of all, apostles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We know that passage. Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some. Who's he? Speaking of God. God's the one. And he gave some, just as 1 Corinthians 12 said, that God set in the church. God gave some. Now listen, the order here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Tells us in verses 12 through 16. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in unity and faith and knowledge and so forth, unto a mature man. You could go through this whole thing from verse 16. The whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and it makes increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in what? Love. All of this fits back to 1 Corinthians 12. Those five gifts, those are referred to as the ministry gifts. I'm standing here as a ministry gift. I'm a pastor teacher. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor teacher. Now, I didn't start out as a pastor teacher. I started out teaching in the children's church, in the nursery, being an usher, working in the music ministry years and years ago, being faithful in all kinds of little areas wherever my pastor needed me. I said, what do you need? I became a supplying joint. I was not a dislocated joint. Have you ever had a dislocated joint in your body? I have. Twice I dislocated my, I tore the ligaments in my left elbow twice in high school playing basketball. I also broke my arm once. The torn ligaments were 10 times more painful than the break, let me tell you. A dislocated joint is a painful thing for the body of Christ. Amen. So here's these five ministry gifts. Their specific purpose is developed there to grow up the body of Christ. And these offices, some call them offices, are ordained of God. But you don't just jump into them. You have to mature into them. You have to grow into them. You have to receive that. And I can tell you very specifically as I stepped into those very things myself. Spiritual gifts are next there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. There are nine specific gifts mentioned, and you can see those, verses 8 through 11, he says, to one is given spirit of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Then it talks about faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. There's nine of them there, and it says, basically, it's broken down. There's three vocal gifts, they say something. There's three power gifts, they do something. And there's three revelation gifts, they always reveal something. It's pretty simple. Those are the, in a sense, spiritual gifts. And again, a portion of them are mentioned up here. It says, do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Do all prophesy? The one that's the most important, though, because I started at the top, the one that I believe is the most vital to the body of Christ is in Romans chapter 12. So turn over to Romans chapter 12. I may sound bold and overspeak here, but I believe this is the one area that's lacking in many churches and in the body of Christ. It's what we refer to as the functional gifts, how people are to function in the church. You've got your ministry gifts, you've got your spiritual gifts, but the practical side of it is the functional gifts. And those functional gifts, when you read Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, I could really start way back in verse 1 about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, because that's what you have to do to submit yourself to the things that God wants you to do. But let's just pick up in verse 4 for the sake of time. For as we have many members in one body, so he's using the human body as an illustration, and all members have not the same office. That's King James. Most of your other translations actually use the word function. Over 35 translations that I looked up have the word function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing. So my gifts are different than Pastor Mary's. Pastor Mary's is different than Pastor Sean. Pastor Sean's different than Pastor Mike. All, you can go through the whole list. Everybody's got a little bit different. And you can see that when people get in the pulpit. You can see that when they're in their life, in their personalities. God uses that differently. But now listen, he says, according to what? The grace that was given to each of us. That's why you can't look at someone and say, boy, I want to be like Pastor Mike. Good luck with that. Thank God we only got one. Huh? We couldn't handle another one. I know we couldn't handle another one of me. Huh? Now, he says, according to the grace given to us, now he starts to list these functional gifts. Now here there's going to be seven. We had 5 ministry gifts, 9 spiritual gifts, and there's going to be 7 functional gifts. All right? Prophecy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It takes faith, trusting God, leaning on the Holy Spirit, to speak an utterance inspired by God. That's all prophecy is. Being a prophet, a ministry gift, is different than prophesying. Anybody can prophesy. Any believer can prophesy. Actually, in the context of it in 1 Corinthians, it talks about edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the definition of prophecy. The words that you speak, do they edify? Do they exhort? Do they comfort? If not, don't tell me they're prophecy. Okay? These people who want to prophesy doom and gloom, I'm not edified. And I'm certainly not comforted. You're going to hell. That's not comforting. All right? We have to understand the distinction there. So he says, to us, prophecy according to the proportion of faith. Verse 7. Or ministry. I'll save that. Let us use it in our ministering. It's actually the word service there. It's how we serve one another. It's how we lay down our life for one another. It's like, this is my ministry. We're all in the ministry. It's called the ministry of the believer in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and other places. That's what it boils down to, is the ministry of the believer. We all have a ministry to a certain degree. He who teaches in teaching. Now, I'm actually standing in the office of a teacher, but anyone can help teach what they know to other people because it's part of the discipleship relationship that God has ordained as a functional gift. But it's not the same as the office. The office is another level. I started out in June of 1978 teaching a Bible study with no intention of ever becoming a Bible teacher at all. The only reason I became a Bible teacher is that the guy that went to Bible school that I asked to come and teach the Bible study in my home didn't show up. He wasn't real faithful. And guess what? Everybody that was showed up, because we had a living room full of people, and they're looking at me like, well, we came here for a Bible study. Let's study the Bible. And so I, okay. And we always joke about it. I started with a TV ministry because I had a little portable TV, and I rolled it into the corner of our living room, and I sat behind it, and this is all you saw. Because I was too scared, silly. Hi, we're going to read the Bible. We're going to study the Bible. That went over real well for about a couple weeks. And I tried teaching. And you know, when you start stepping out in faith because of necessity, it's amazing. God shows up. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you will just do all kinds of things you're not ready to do. And I got so excited one time while I was given an illustration, I stood up. And I froze. Because all of a sudden now I'm standing up in front of all of these people. And I'm the kind of guy that I actually took a failed grade in high school during speech class and English class because I could not stand up in front of anybody without just about wetting my pants. And here I am all of a sudden, I'm standing up in front of everybody teaching the Bible. And then I just trusted God and been doing it ever since. But I began by just teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. Then I stepped into the office. Then I stepped into the office. Because I was faithful with something that was little. Did you hear me? You always start out faithful with something that's little, and that which is another man's, the Bible says. So when you step up in that area and you start ministering, teaching, then it says, and he who exhorts in verse 8 with exhortation. Now I'm just going to be very blunt because I've said this many times from the pulpit. The reason I have Pastor Sean up on that pulpit, up on the platform, I've had him up there for years, and I'm telling you, he has come 150% better than where he was singing. I never had him up there for singing all those years. I don't know if I still have him up there for singing. And he'll agree with it. But I have him up there because he has that gift of exhortation. He can get up there and by the Holy Ghost start to say something, and he lifts the service. Every minister we've had in, guest minister, they always said, oh, that guy's, he's got the gift of exhortation. Now, he could get real, hey, I got the gift of exhortation. And then he tries to work it. And guess what's going to happen? That box is going to be empty next time he tries to open up that gift. You have to yield to it. You have to just go with the flow of it. You have to trust God because it's his gift. It's not us. You know what? If I trusted in my knowledge and my information to teach, I'd be in big trouble. It's not about education. It's about relationship with God. Now, thank God you have to give him something to work with. That's why go to Bible school. That's why I study for hours. That's why I read all these translations. That's why we give ourselves to these things. Any area of knowledge and expertise, whatever it might be, business or science, you have to give yourself to it because that's what you're called to do. You have to learn your trade, learn your craft, whatever it might be. But at the same time, when you get in there, no matter what it is, back when I was in business for all those years before I went into the ministry, thank God I had learned these principles. And I believe at a young age, these young kids are learning this now. They're learning how to serve now. They're learning how to give into what another man does now. And guess what will happen? The Bible promises them they'll get that which is their own. I was faithful always with other churches and other ministries. And then I was never planning to start a church. And yet in the middle of me praying and asking God what church for me and my family to go to, the Lord said, I want you to start a church. And I'm like, you got the wrong guy. No. But the training that I had in business, going out and starting stores and opening up stores and doing and training salespeople, and that all that stuff that I did for almost 20 years before I finally answered the call of God, guess what? All natural training that God ended up using spiritually. Whatever natural training you might be having and might be getting, God might want to tap into that. Amen? So here we are, functional gifts, prophecy, ministry or serving, teaching, exhorting. The next one here is giving. Now again, everybody can give, but sometimes people just have it on their heart to give. I believe that's what Sean was talking about at the offering time. Leadership. There's something about that leadership. Being able to step in and just find yourself taking a responsibility. Not just authority. People can take authority, but they also, authority and responsibility go hand in hand. And then next is mercy with cheerfulness. All those need to have a little mercy with cheerfulness. But when you take those ministry gifts, those spiritual gifts, those functional gifts, and you put them all together, it's amazing to me how they complement the body of Christ. So let's read, go back to 1 Corinthians 12 again and read it. Now that you see those three types of categories, watch. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles, prophets, and teachers. Those are the ministry gifts. After that, miracles and gifts of healings. Those are spiritual gifts. Diversities of tongues, spiritual gifts. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Spiritual gifts. So, hey, you jumped right over helps and governments. I did. But helps and administrations, those are functional gifts. And it's interesting to me that when he starts asking and he comes back and asks the question, verses 29 and 30, you know what he doesn't bring up? He brings up the apostles and the prophets and the tongues and the interpretation and the healings and the miracles. For some reason, he does not repeat the helps and the governments, because I believe that's such a basic place for every believer to be involved. We don't have to bring that up, because all should be in helps. All should be in administrations. Because the other ones he's saying, are all this, are all that? No, we're not all going to prophesy. No, we're not all going to function in the gifts of the Spirit. No, we're not all going to walk in one of those ministry gifts. But we should all function in the ministry of helps. This is going over real good here, folks. Come on. I mean, does anybody not see that? Is that okay? All you Bible experts, that if you see that, I want you to understand, God is making a point. God is making a point. He's asking about all these other ones, are all this, or all that, or all that. And you're going, no, obviously they're not all that. But the one thing that he doesn't repeat, we all should be. And we all should get involved in it. We should all be willing to say yes. And he says in verse 4 back there, not all have the same office, back in Romans, but not all have the same function, not all have the same operation, all the purpose, same use, other translations say. You know, promotion comes from the Lord. I don't have time to turn there. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7 talk about promotion coming from the Lord. And it really is talking about the maturity that comes because of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Pastor Mike just shared on that recently. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 again. This is my main text. This is where we get the title from. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Members in particular. One translation says this, you are Christ's body and each of you is an individual part of it. Another one says, each of you is unique and a vital part of the body of Christ. Another one says, a vital member. Another one says, each one of you is a separate and necessary part. Another one says, each part is distinct, each with its own place and function. That's the Amplified. So you take all these different translations, and, you know, when I study, that's what I do. I look up 25, 35, 40 translations sometimes, even more. I just look them all up, as many as I can find. And you put them all together, and it says this, each of you is a unique, separate, distinct individual, and a necessary member with its own vital function. That's all of us. That's every single one of us. You have a vital function in the body of Christ. Well, I show up. Yes. But there's more to it than just showing up. Now, part of the service today, we're going to celebrate something, because we have some young people who have been demonstrating these gifts of the Spirit, these gifts really of helps and administration for the last year. Over this last 2020, we watched and saw them function and do something. And Pastor Mary and I and Pastor Sean and others were talking about this and said, we need to recognize their efforts. Now, I could recognize everybody in the church, because when I look at this Ministry of Help schedule for January, this is what's posted out there, and majority of our members are somewhere on here. You're functioning somewhere. You don't have to be a prophet to function here. All right? You don't have to be a Bible teacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be anything. You just have to be a believer with a pulse. All right? That's all. Just breathe, show up, we'll put you to work. Now, every place has a different responsibility and a different commitment. You know, if you say, well, I want to work in the nursery, that's great. Are you willing to have a security check done on you? We are required by law to do a background check on anybody that works with children or a nursery. So if there's anything in your background that you don't want Pastor Mary to know about, see, they don't tell me. So you say, well, I want to work with children. Years ago, we had a guy that wanted to work in children, and we did background check, and we realized, no, you are not going anywhere near our children. Well, I'm a new creation in Christ. That's not what the law says. I believe you, but I'm going to make sure the law stays that way. Now, he understood it was old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I said, there are other places we can use you in the body of Christ that do not require a background check. All right? You can be a greeter. How about you just be a greeter to start with? That's like 101 entry level. All right? So here we have all these wonderful places. And guess what? We still have more room if you're not on here. But I want to recognize specifically and give certificates of appreciation and faithfulness to four very special members. And so when I call your name, I want you to come up. I would like Elijah Swanson to come up. Don't get nervous now. Why don't you come on up and stand on the steps. And I would like Kevin Ott to come up. And I would like, she's already looking at me, making funny faces. Come on, Noel. Noel Haukes. But then I'd also like Danielle Ott to come up. I'm going to start with Danielle because this is a certificate of leadership. In recognition of your excellent leadership and faithful services as the leader of the crew. This is the crew and the setup team. Thank you very much. Now, the crew, what you don't know and probably don't realize, the crew comes in here early every Sunday morning and cleans. They come in and they pick up, because, you know, the daycare sometimes comes in here and uses it. The other church uses this. Other people come in here. And sometimes you come in here and you wouldn't believe the trash that's on the floor, things that are on the chairs, stuff like this. And these guys are running around at 10:30, quarter to 11, before any of you get here. So they're not doing this to be seen of men. Nobody sees them doing this. They're doing it, as the Bible says, for an audience of one. They're getting it done because Jesus is watching them. Now, because Jesus is watching, this is what they had done all year. Now, some others have started to join the crew. I've seen Izzy help. I've seen Colin help. I've seen others help. And so next year, if they're in part of the crew, we're going to grow the crew. You able to hand more? Yeah. So we have one here for Noel in recognition of your faithful services as a member of the crew. Same with Kevin. Same with Elijah. So let's give them a... All right, you guys can go sit down. Thank you. So now here's something that I'm going to encourage you to do. When you see them running around here, picking stuff up off the floor and picking stuff off, you know, your gum wrappers that you left there last Sunday, you know, it's amazing to me, nobody says anything when everything's all clean. But if stuff isn't cleaned up, that's when you notice. And you go, boy, this place is really a mess. I wonder who's supposed to take care of it. I always say, if you get the unction, you get the function. Huh? If you see something, don't murmur about it. Bend over and pick it up. Some of us need to bend over a little bit more often. Huh? These kids are running around picking stuff up. You should watch. They're like little bees running around here in the morning, if you ever see them. When they come out and they've got gum wrappers in their hand and they got stuff and they got empty water bottles that you left underneath your chair from last week and they're walking out and they're putting it in the trash, I'm just going to encourage you to walk up and hug them and say, thank you for your service. That's the ministry of helps. Now, like I say, if you feel left out, tell Pastor Sean he'll print a certificate for you too. If you really want a certificate, we'll get you one. All right? But I wanted to specifically acknowledge these four because they served faithfully for the whole last year. Is that all right? And, you know, I served faithfully and I didn't get a certificate.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you very much. And my name's even on the list here. I'm in here too, you know. Oh my. But again, when you're faithful with little, in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, I mentioned this. It talks about being faithful with that which is little and that which is another man's. God says you'll be rewarded. And one translation actually says, you'll be given responsibility over other areas for your own, in a sense, area of ministry. Your own area of ministry. These are all ministers in training. They are. Because when they show themselves faithful at these little things, any one of us showing ourselves, when you're on the schedule for greeting, showing yourself faithful to show up. When you're on the schedule to help in children's church or ushers or music team, whatever it is might be, when you show up and you help, I'm going to be very blunt about this, and I believe this with all my heart. I know everybody kind of ends up focusing on what comes from the pulpit because that's where the word comes forth. But the word is demonstrated all the rest of the church, all the rest of the time. Music ministry is just as vital as the pulpit. Actually, having the right person greeting you when you walk in. I mean, if you're grumpy cat today, don't greet. Come on. I mean, if you've been sucking sour pickles before you got to church, just tag somebody else. We don't need you as the greeter. Because sure enough, that's the day that some visitor shows up. Man, those people are just mean. And they call themselves Christians. You're supposed to love one another. Do you see the look on that guy's face? It says, with cheerfulness. We're supposed to serve with cheerfulness. You know, back a couple years ago, I did a whole long series for the whole year. We took every one of the parables of Jesus and spent time on it. And two of the parables, specifically Luke chapter 19, he talks the parable of the pounds. But specifically in Matthew chapter 25, he talks about the parable of the talents. And that master came back and he said something that we all want to hear when we see Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler or responsible over many other things. So again, all of you that have helped, all of you that have been on these lists, on these calendars, everyone that's going to be on the calendars for 2021, I'm saying thank you in advance. Because you make this ministry work. I know too many pastors that I have had to deal with in my responsibility as overseeing Minnesota. They're just overworked because they're doing everything. They don't have people to delegate to and trust to do things. We've been very blessed in that area as a church. But again, my training in business for all those years was how to train people for sales and marketing and stock and doing everything that would to make a store run. That was my job in all the business background I had. And when I came into the church, I realized maybe those are natural, but they work in the spirit. They work in the church. We're about God's business. Amen? And so, let me put it this way. To hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful minister. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's a lot of things that wouldn't happen in churches if it weren't for the ministry of helps. And all of us that are on this calendar, you're in good company. This may not be a page out of your Bible, but just think of the people that are mentioned in the Bible. Their names are immortalized. Their names have gone down in history. Colossians chapter 1 talks about Epaphras. He says, a fellow servant who is a faithful minister on your behalf. Paul gives recognition to him. Now, how would you like to make sure that your name is in the Bible and millions of people read it? You know, Epaphras is going up there. Now, I didn't do it to get my name recognition. And people are going to line up, hey, Epaphras! They all just all line up in heaven. I read your name. How about this guy? Tychicus. I'm just going to say, hi, Ty. Because I probably am pronouncing his name right. Tychicus. Something like that. Colossians 4:7, again, Paul marks him. Paul calls him out and says, he was a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. Hebrews actually talks about Moses was a faithful servant in God's house, in other words, in the church, we could say, bearing witness to the truth. Now, I like that because every time we help, every time we do something to serve one another, we're bearing witness to the truth. We are bringing testimony to what the Word of God says. We're living out the gospel. We're living out one of these functional gifts, ministry gifts, spiritual gifts. We are doing something that's going to help someone. You know, Psalm 86 says this, because I have been a faithful servant who trusts in you, Lord, you will save me and watch over my life. That's a promise. You know, Jesus asked there in Matthew 24, and I think it's an interesting question that we need to ask ourselves, but this is the question he asked. Who is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has given responsibility over his household? Who is the faithful and wise servant? And I won't go into the parable, but one of the answers is very simple. Who is the faithful servant that his Lord has given him this responsibility? And the Lord comes back. You know what the answer is? The servant is still being faithful. You know, people quote all the time, Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth? Well, of course you're going to find faith. He's the author and the finisher of it. I'm sorry, that's just kind of a foolish way to look at it. Actually, that word faith there is translated in other places. Who's going to find faithfulness in the earth? That's what he's looking for. He's looking for faithfulness from the body of Christ, from those believers, to say yes, Lord, to whatever it is that he asks us to do. You know, when he asked me to step into the pulpit and be a Bible teacher, I had to say yes against everything that was in me that fought against it. And then when he said, I've called you to be a pastor, I really wanted to rebel. Because I did not want, I love teaching, but all this pastor stuff? But at the same time, when I know that voice, and when he said that, it was like, yes, sir. You know, back in May of 1993, my wife and I were up on the North Shore. We, back in those days, would go away a couple times a year and seek the Lord. And that's when the Lord called us to keep the church going, but at the same time sell our house and go to Tulsa and go to Rhema for 2 years and commute back and forth for those 2 years. And we were like, somebody talked me out of this. But we cut our time short. We called the kids. Told them both, we want you to be home tonight. We have something we need to tell you. So all we said, we didn't say anything else. We just want you to be home. We need to talk to you. They thought, what's going on? Just be home. So we get home. We're up in our bedroom unpacking and everything. The kids come up. Eric and Jennifer standing there. And I just said, well, we need to talk about something. Before we said anything, my teenage son wasn't real spiritual, all right? Looks at me, gets this look on his face and says, you're selling the house and going to Tulsa and going to Rhema. Now, that was the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Now, I've never accused him of being a donkey that spoke. But if God can use a donkey to speak, he can use a teenage son to speak. And I needed to hear a supernatural word from somebody as a confirmation that what we heard up on the North Shore. And there's no way he knew that. There's no way that he had any idea what we were about to say. And I just looked at him and I said, Eric, you just realized you just had a word of knowledge. God just gave you knowledge that previously, 10 seconds ago, you had he just downloaded that into you. And yeah. And of course, my goofy son, he has to relate this to a movie right away, and he starts running around going, Oklahoma, 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 from the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. So typical. But that's all we needed to say, this is God. We knew then, And when I called up Jim Caseman, I called up Tony Cook, I said, this is what God told us to do, because we've been pastoring for 10 years, and God's telling us to keep our church in St. Paul and go to school in Tulsa for 2 years and drive back and forth. Has anybody done this? I mean, and as Tony Cook said, well, you'll be our guinea pig, because it's never worked. And we did it for 2 years, put 100,000 miles in two vehicles, and God did it. But it started by a supernatural word from heaven. It was confirmed by a supernatural gift of the Spirit. We had to walk it out because we had been faithful with that which is another, and been faithful in other areas, and God promoted us to other things. I'd never become the Minnesota RMAI director if I hadn't gone to Rhema. Hello? And yet I knew from 1977, God told me then at camp meeting, that I would be a minister to minister and a teacher to teachers. And I said, no, sir. I don't want to be that. But I have been that for many years. And then a few years later, actually, someone else prophesied, you'll be a pastor to pastors. Oh, jeez, will you stop adding on? But you have to accept that. You have to walk in that. So everything that these, don't ever despise the day of small beginnings. Don't ever despise the fact that here's somebody that's got a little certificate on the wall now because he's running around picking up gum wrappers. You have no idea where these kids are going to be 20 years from now, 30 years from now. If Jesus doesn't return, they're the next generation of leaders in the church. And they're getting their hands, in a sense, put to the plow now. And it's an amazing thing to me that they're able to say, because I have been a faithful servant, Lord, who trusts in you, you will save me and watch over my life. Hold on to that verse, kids. That's a verse that you can go home with. So again, 1 Corinthians 12:27, our main text. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. All of you. Let me ask you, how many of you enjoy having coffee? Hug Mickey next time, will you? A lot of times I'm coming here, where's Mickey? Where's Mickey?
She's in the kitchen.
See, she doesn't get any recognition for hiding in the kitchen. No, she's not hiding in the kitchen. She's working! And if she gives a cup of water to a prophet, what does she get? That's right. See, it's the simplest thing. It's the simplest thing. How can you get involved? Pray about it. Ask the Lord, Lord, what supply do I have? What supply? Well, pray, of course. Bring your smiley face instead of your grumpy face to church. All right? All grumpiness stays in the parking lot, please. Well, the clock died, so I have no idea how long I went, but I'm hold on, let's check with Mickey. I only went 2 minutes over. It's all Mickey's fault because I had to get Mickey in there. Father, we're so thankful for your word.